Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Kansas City jazz guitarist Brian Baguette on the 2022 CD Groovin' and Swingin'. The album is presented by Jazz Daddy Records and Green Lady Radio, with the CD release show at the Green Lady slated for Monday, November 7th, 2022. As the legend of Kansas City jazz continues to grow and evolve, the Green Lady Lounge has become a key venue for continuing the city's rich history of great guitar players and otherwise. In 2020, the Brian Baguette Trio began a Monday night residency at the Green Lady. Brian has been appearing at the club since 2013, playing several nights a week as a member of Ken Laverne's OJT and Guitar Elation with legendary guitarist Danny Embry. We got into his history at the Green Lady and the road ahead, and it's always getting brighter and better. Enjoy this interview.
Joe, how are you?
Hey, Brian, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Great to catch up with you. I think you were one of the very first musicians I interviewed when I started this show.
Well, I was just thinking that because, it was about 10 years ago, and that was actually the first Brian Baguette Trio record, because I remember there was a picture of the record on the little interview link.
Okay, yeah. So it's great to catch up, man. I love the rendezvous, but this is a little sweeter because it was so long ago.
Yeah, wonderful, yeah.
And, you know, and with that as kind of our backdrop, what a triumphant way to come out. We're coming out of this pandemic, and I'm curious, how did this pandemic treat you? You know, I mean, this was really hard. I know John Scott, you know, really kept things going the best way that he could. A lot of, you know, club owners did in Kansas City, but the artist really kind of on a cellular level, how did this treat you? How did you survive it? And how have you changed since we've come out of it?
It was tough. I think it was tough on everybody. But for me, you know, I'm kind of I wouldn't say antisocial, but I'm kind of a loner. So I was all right with the downtime for a while, but then it started to get to me a little bit. I used it as an opportunity to keep playing and maybe start playing things that weren't related to the gig, because I didn't have as many gigs. We did some live streams from the Black Dolphin, the club next door to Green Lady. But other than that, you know, there wasn't a lot of gigs. So, I picked up the acoustic guitar and played that and would, you know, kind of experiment with alternate tunings on the acoustic guitar, things that I, you know, didn't have time to do or didn't want to practice necessarily when I was going down to play a gig that evening. It sure was good when everything opened back up. I remember we started playing gigs again at the Green Lady, which was wonderful. And one of the first nights that we played there, Matt Villinger's organ trio with Peter Schlamm on vibes, they played after us. And I just kind of sat up near the stage there at the Green Lady and listened to them. And it was a really powerful moment for me to hear live music again that I wasn't a part of, you know, that I wasn't playing, just as a listener. And what a great group to get reintroduced to live music, because those guys are amazing.
So as far as this album is concerned, how did it come about? You know, what was it, Groovin' and Swingin', what was it that made you think, we need to record this, we need to get this out, and more specifically, when was this actually recorded?
It was recorded over a year ago. It was recorded in September of 2021, and really the catalyst for the whole project was the Green Lady Lounge, and John Scott. He obviously gave us the steady Monday night gig there and asked me to put the trio together. Which is a whole other story, because it was kind of an interesting way to put a group together, knowing the room we were going to play in. He really pushed us and produced this recording. So I'm real thankful to the Green Lady Lounge and also Ken Laverne for kind of pushing me to put out some of my own music again.
You know, I see shows all over town. You know, I mean, you got flavors of, I mean, you got the Blue Room, you got the Green Lady Lounge. I mean, even at Johnston County Community College and all these other Corvino, there's a vibe whenever you go in. And it's always consistent at Green Lady. It's always really hard groove and it's always swinging. I mean, there's some times where it's a little bit more laid back. Usually when you go in, you know that you're really going to feel that groove that's going through the air. And I'm curious, as a musician that performs regularly, what's the difference of being in a place like that, especially not only just playing there, but laying down an actual recording that's going to be preserved forever? What's it mean to do that in a place like the Green Lady in Kansas City?
Well, like I said before, I put the group together for the Green Lady Lounge, so it made perfect sense to record the album there. And, you know, like the cover is just a live shot from the Green Lady Lounge. And, it is a grooving record, but it's not as hard hitting as some of the other stuff, like even OJT. But I like that. I like the contrast of it. And I also like the way that works in the room at the Green Lady Lounge. It's a little darker and a little slower, I would say, which I think fits that room really well. And I made a conscious effort to do that, not only when I was writing for the band, but then also arranging other songs, because we do play some songs, and there's even a couple songs on the new record that are on the last OJT record, but they're much different.
You know, the one thing that I think is very emblematic about, you know, the Green Lady is that John Scott has really gone to great lengths to, like, really produce music out of there, really bring in musicians and make this place an entertainment hub, and he's done that. And I'm curious, from your perspective, not only with Green Lady, but with Kansas City coming out of this, how are you seeing the recovery in the jazz community? How are you seeing things come back to life and maybe being in a different light, maybe being stronger now that we're coming out of it?
Well, to start with Green Lady, it's a really amazing venue. And one of the things that separate the Green Lady from other venues, I think, is the fact that it's a successful venue aside from the live music. The live music is a really big part of it, but, again, like we were just talking about, the atmosphere of it, the quality of the service and the drinks, there would be people there whether there was music or not. And I feel like in the past, maybe that's been lacking in some establishments, too much pressure maybe on the musicians to bring the customers in. And I like that sort of partnership with the club, so to speak. But as far as coming out of the pandemic with live music, I'm still pretty surprised that it just popped back almost like nothing happened, and I'm really thankful for that. And I think, just like I was saying when I saw Matt's group for the first time, I think people really missed it, and so maybe are less likely to take it for granted.
What are you noticing with crowds when you play for them now versus when you did before? I know we all want, we were all shocked for not having it for 2 years, but have you noticed the new level of appreciation, and maybe it's quieter? What have you noticed in general with the crowds?
Oh, gosh. Well, we have to remember that we're playing jazz music. I love jazz. Don't get me wrong, but I hesitate to expect too much out of the audience in terms of engagement or even whatever that be, like with this new record. I'm not expecting it to sell a million copies or anything like that. It's jazz music. Again, it's part of the whole experience for me, and I'm not trying to put the music up on a pedestal, so to speak. I just want it in that room, kind of like a stick of incense burning, aside from that, I've noticed as we've been doing this Monday gig, time is kind of a blur here, but I believe it started in 2019, I think. And then, we had all that time off. I've noticed that, our crowd on Monday night has steadily grown to where we have a pretty decent crowd there on Mondays to listen to my trio.
First and foremost, this is really about, this time is about keeping jazz alive, but the best thing that people can do is to actually consume the music that you make. Where's the best place for anybody to get this music, whether it's buying it or streaming it? And
even, you know, supporting you and all of the jazz community that's out there in Kansas City?
Well, it'll certainly be available at the club, at the Green Lady Lounge, definitely on Mondays. You can get one from me. And then, you know, all the other outlets, all the streaming platforms, it'll be streaming on November 7th. That's when the record comes out. And it's also available if you're not in the area and you want a physical CD. It's available on my website, which is brianbaggett.net.
Beautiful. Hey, Brian, thank you for taking a minute out, man. I was pretty ecstatic to see that Groove sent this over and it's getting promoted really well. So good luck. I hope this really takes off, and I look forward to getting back down at the Green Lady and seeing you cast live.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Kansas City and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Brian for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. I want to tip you off to a wonderful program I found out about. As we expand our reach, we have made some friends out there in the world that love jazz as much as we do. This program is fully endorsed by Neon Jazz.
Gerald Albright, Maria Schneider, Charlie Hunter, Duke Robillard, Sean Jones, Walter Beasley, Steve Swallow. Something Came from Baltimore is a jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, and it's not really about Baltimore. Subscribe to the podcast and listen to your favorite artist or future favorite artist. That's Something Came from Baltimore. And be a part of that Be More Music scene. Joe Lovano, Jeff Coffin, Paula Cole, Danuzo Makatani, Ann Passio, Chess Smith.
Neon Jazz.